this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, by the hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Champions League nights down in Madrid. Estadio Wando Olympicano, something like that, sir. But hey, I wanted to be in Madrid with the Ralph Rangnick's Red Army. I'll tell you what, they gave us 80 minutes not to cheer about. But that boy, Anthony Elanga, he's got magic in his boots. Something to play for in the return leg. It was another tale of two halves. United first half as bad as it gets. Second half a little bit better. And it was really the subs that changed the game. Ralph got the subs right again. But how are we feeling?
I said nil-nil would be a win. 1-1 without away goals. I mean, it is a win. Scoring that away goal for a long, if there were away goals, would have been huge. Coming back home, Atletico would have to attack us. I mean, that away goals rule really impacting United given that performance. But look, if you're looking at the football, the eyes don't lie. Tough watch. Absolutely. This team, you know, like Roy Keane famously said, watching this club, not good for your health. Yelling at the screen. I'm pumped up. Music playing, Champions League theme. Unbelievable. That roster, you go down the line, Bruno, CR7, Sancho, hitters, Paul Pogba. These are the nights that those players are supposed to step up. You think they could do it on a night under the lights with that music. And boy, we came out looking rugged and couldn't get it together. Atletico imposed their will on us a little bit, hit the post twice, but we get away with it again. And I don't care, because when you got a substitute teacher, an interim coach, we're playing an interim ball, used to play Ole ball, now we're calling it interim ball with Lindelof at right back. I'll take the results. This isn't the new manager. This isn't the grand plan yet. It's about results for Manchester United, and you can't complain 1-1. We played like absolute shit. And we got a draw. So let's beat them at home. Let's go to the next round and try to figure it out. Try to play ourselves into some form. But man, it didn't pass the eye test at all.
No, it didn't. But like you said, the result is a solid result for us. It would have been even better if the away goal rule still worked. It would have been actually a great result for us. But that being said, you know, the way goal rule can cut against you, we're likely to concede when they do come to our house regardless. But there's plenty to play for. I think what Ralph did was he picked a lineup that looked the best on paper, and some of those big name players just did not show up today. Maguire, Marcus Rashford, Paul Pogba were just awful today. Especially, you know, Maguire, they just came out so lacking confidence, so lacking physicality that we allowed Atletico to dictate the game very early, and we just looked like a bunch. Like you said, they had never got off the bus. We just looked like we were afraid. And like players playing afraid, it's certainly not the Manchester United way. You're in knockout Champions League football. Some players showed it, like they're not used to the big leagues. And Atletico, they've been there before, and they look like it.
Totally agree, but if this is the worst, I mean, you can't play a worse match.
You can't. You
know, we've been struggling against Southampton, Burnley of the world. You go to Atletico away, you play arguably the worst football I've seen like in a long time, and you get a 1-1 draw. It's only up from here. And if you think about this team, we're all over the board. Scrambled eggs, interim manager, locker room drama probably is going on. Players, if we are able to get a result against Atletico and go one step further in Champions League, maybe that's what this crew needs. It's all been leaks and rough games against lower table opposition. Hopefully this can build some confidence for us. We got some big games. Tottenham lost. That's huge for us. Everything's in the balance. We haven't had form, so eventually the blind squirrel is going to find the acorn. Eventually Ronaldo will start scoring again. Eventually this team will start clicking. They have to before the end of the season. Otherwise, this is going to be a rough watch.
We have some kind of anti-karma on this pod, sir. As soon as you mentioned Conte, they've lost 4 of 5, including Burnley. I say stuff like that. We jinx players. Today, sir, I mean, like, you got to give credit to Ralph. I think he put in an 11 that seemed strong. He was disappointed after the fact. He made changes. Some of those probably could have been made earlier, but they had an impact again. It changed the game. Dude, he put defenders on, and it was a really, from the jump right away, changing the fullbacks, that had an impact, bringing off players that were not doing much of anything. So I think he's learning it. Like, there's some big-name players here who are just, like, ain't cutting it, and I'm going to need to lean on the Anthony Alangas of the world, the Matiches, the Telluses. Even AWB, man, he came on, and at least he was running, and he was putting in some tackles. It's just like, who is willing to fight for this team, fight for the inches? Like we talked about the season opener straight out of any given Sunday. This team needs to show some heart. We showed glimpses of it at the end, but, dude, this is a winnable side. We can beat Atletico handily if we show up. And it's this team, I don't know who you're going to get. You have no idea who you're going to get. Jekyll and Hyde football.
I think you know what you're going to get when you watch this team play football. That's the problem. We haven't seen the other side of us playing well. Obviously, you can beat a poor Leeds team 4-2 and concede two terrible goals within a minute. That's not like something to stand on at the end of the day. But, sir, we got a quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans by fans. Join our Discord channel. There is an invite pinned on our Twitter profile. You want to meet other American Red Devils. The thread was going off today. Match Day channel was absolute fire. It's a great small community. Please join it. We have around 400 members. Check out that invite on Twitter if you're looking to hang out with other Muppets. Get the hot banter for the match days as well. Also, check out our Patreon page. You can visit it at www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We don't have any private sponsorships on this podcast. Nobody's telling us what to do. We want to keep this strictly for fans, by fans. Big shout out to Randall Creel, who just signed up to become a Patreon member. You are the real MVP. We really appreciate your support. If you would like to become a Patreon member, like I said, check out our Patreon page. We give away pin, sticker, scarf, shirts, you name it. There's also some other benefits, coupons. You get a special Discord upgrade as well. Also, check out our blog, www.americaredevils.com. Great fan-generated blog content. Alex had a new post. Sir, tell them about what you post about.
Sir, the America Red Devils blog is fan-generated, including the number one Muppet that I know, which is me. And I just put out a little post about my man Ralph Rangnick and why he could be the perfect guy to clean up the mess, sir. But, hey, that's another story. Check out our blog, americaredevils.com. And another way to support the pod is 5-star reviews. 5-star reviews, whether it's on iTunes or Spotify, great way to support the pod. And we're giving out free merch, and I'm sending it globally, baby. I've been using 3 stamps sent all over the place. Send a 5-star review, a screenshot of wherever you wrote that review to americaredevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear straight to your door. Great way to support the pod, sir. Join the Discord as well. The Muppets are outrageous, sir. We got music. Angel somewhere. Angel somewhere.
Let's go. This music makes me want to head the ball out for a corner in the first 4 minutes of the game. It's a special night. Atletico Madrid versus Manchester United. It would end 1-1 at the Estadio Wanda Metropolitano. The Reds were you know, drinking all the dark ales in Madrid, enjoying themselves, getting prepared for a match. The atmosphere was incredible. Doesn't get better than knockout stage football in the Champions League as a Manchester United fan.
It doesn't. You know, great stadium, great city. I'm a big fan of Madrid. I studied abroad there. So when I saw the boys in Plaza Mayor getting after it, I was very, very jealous. They were in fine voice, but you know what? They left their hearts on the bus, sir, because the team just did not show up. And that Atletico crowd was up for it, as they should be. Nice stadium, must be said. You know, I think it's been more money spent there in the last 10 years than we spent at Old Trafford. But we were pumped. I know the ARD community was pumped. I guess the players just were. They were good. They were good.
If this music doesn't make you want to go out there and bleed for that shirt, sir, I don't know what will. Let's listen to the rest of this theme here. Those angelic voices, sir, unbelievable. The Champions League theme. How are you feeling after seeing that lineup in Madrid?
Sir, that lineup, we got it. It's De Gea in net. And the big shocker was who else but Lindelof as your right back, Maguire, Varane, center back pairing. We had Shaw on the left. It was the two. And you said it, Pogba, Fred, two. That's the two on paper that's got to make it happen. Bruno Fernandes, and then a front three of Rashford, Ronaldo, and Jadon Sancho, sir. That's a pretty expensive 11. I mean, the whole, you know, the Swede on the right as a right back, that's a little bit of a weird one. But otherwise, like, that is a very, very strong 11. You'd think they'd be able to do the job or at least like get up for it.
Look, I think Ralph picked the best team. You look at it on paper, he definitely got it right. I like the Lindelof at right back. A lot of times we get cut open. It's down that channel, maybe DeLogas caught out. And then you have the back line like Varane having to come cover. Then you got Maguire out of position and obviously Shaw as well. I think the right side of our defense is usually where it all goes wrong. I like him getting Lindelof and plugging him in there. Interesting way to do it. The real way to do it is just to drop Maguire.
Right.
I really think the fact that Maguire is the captain, I think the big price tag, he doesn't want to drop him. But he was very droppable for this game. Very droppable. A little off Varane with an AWB, much cleaner, yeah, in my opinion. Obviously, we'll get to how Maguire impacted the game here in a little bit. But that was really the only... I could see the rationale from the manager why he did it. I do think he got the team right. When I'm listening to that beautiful music, I'm seeing that shot as they go across this team. I'm like, let's fucking go. I'm standing up. I'm ready to rock. There's a few games where I have that full feeling where I'm like, I'm in it to win it today. This team, regardless of how they played, look at that 11. They should be running riot against Atletico Madrid. And then obviously kickoff starts and it's gone.
Well, I mean, you would say is that Ralph put the team in a great position to win, because that's a great 11 given the team. I think Lindelof even was a good choice as well. But that being said, dude, you got to be able to go out there and put together a performance. I think if we just showed up with a little conviction, first half would have went differently. But let's get into it.
All right, Manchester United come out like they've never played in a Champions League knockout game before. It was shaky from the start. Second minute, like I mentioned here, definitely a tricky ball for Maguire to deal with. But, you know, there's a lot of ways he could have dealt with it. And instead, he heads away an unnecessary corner. This is sort of like in youth soccer when the coach tells you, hey, you know, if it's a little difficult, you can head the ball out of bounds. That's fine there, but when you're an 80 million pound center back,
not under pressure,
you know, you don't unnecessarily concede a corner. And then De Gea kind of was upset about it. You could kind of tell, like, if that's the tone we're going to set, things started to go our way. Then after this corner, Bruno turned the ball over a great opportunity. Lindelof with a great tackle as well. It all kind of snowballed after the second minute. We never got started. We never got off the bus. And before you knew it, João Félix would he would make Harry Maguire look bad.
Towards the head of Jimenez, it's won by Lindelof. Oh, it's a really good chance, and it's in! João Félix got the bounce off the inside of the post. Correa's testing cross, Manchester United static. Had problems with the recycling of the ball from the first set piece, Manchester United, and this one again. Crowd just getting the yard of room. And then from there, it was all about the quality of the ball in. Had the pace on it, the accuracy on it, just to catch out Félix. Just attack it, asking to be headed and dies.
I mean, we use the term beat like a dog and
a lot.
João Félix bent his run in front of Harry and beat him to the ball, scores the goal. Again, this is why you put Lindelof in with Ferran. I think he probably does better there. This is the, you know, the issues with starting Harry Maguire. Conceding the corner and then this opportunity shortly after. You know, bad start for Harry. And again, when you're looking at your captain being the liability, he's pretty much undroppable. It's kind of difficult.
It's the, you know, some of the issues that were inherited by the manager. And when you come out in the second minute and he's got to start the guy, £80 million, sir, Varane maybe can start once a week, if that. Dude heads the ball out, yells at his goalkeeper, who has played with the team longer, won a shit ton more than he has. It does set a certain tone, sir. And we just, dude, he can't be getting beat to the ball like that. You know, Fred should do better, to be fair. He gets beat very badly. You're going to use the analogy like a dog. He was also beat like a dog. But, like, come on, man, $80 million, and it's like he's beat like that.
For the record,
time.
We both have dogs. We love dogs.
Love dogs.
It's
big
a,
dog
it's
fan.
It's a term. It's a I term. Know, beat like.
Like, for mean people, that would beat a dog, which you don't do. But, like I said, that was not good. And we didn't get much better, sir. We didn't get much better.
No, but you know what I said to you shortly after this? Obviously, this goes in. We're all upset. We're pissed off. What a the horrible start again. And then a horrible goal that could have been prevented. But I said, look, this type of team is so schizophrenic. We could literally equalize here like that. Because you look at the talent we have up top, it doesn't take much for us to score. So I always kind of felt if we didn't let Atletico just come wave after wave, like I felt like Brighton had us under more consistent pressure than Atletico. Atletico was just so organized defensively, we couldn't get anything going, but they weren't able to generate too much of an attack, and that was the theme of the first half. 21st minute, United look exposed, but Sancho does well to track back. Nothing from United. Nothing was open. Pogba giving the ball away. Fred with bad touches giving the ball away. We couldn't get anything started. Atletico were frustrating us all over the pitch. 25th minute, Maguire... Sorry, you give him this
Maguire with a hospital pass to Fred, sir. I don't know if you remember this. He literally just passed around to Fred. Fred got smoked.
Horrible touch.
And actually, probably, like, he got the ball, and I think the ref saved us on this one. But this was another Maguire just, like, not playing with any confidence, playing like a player that's still playing Leicester in the Europa League. I don't know, but that was just bad.
Very frustrating because, like, you had – basically, it's like our back line had a lot of the ball. You know, Maguire, Lindelof, Ferran, then back, then
sideways
to Shaw,
passing.
Then back, then to Pogba, then back. Nobody turning. Also, the tempo, so slow. No one could get it. Like, even Pogba on the ball was slow. Bruno on the ball was slow. No one could get anything going. The players need too many touches. They need too much space. Atletico playing at a different pace, a different tempo, where they were on it, ready to go, out of the gate. Obviously playing at home, but this is more the same from United we've seen. You're going to struggle against the Burnleys with that type of football. You're going to struggle against Atletico. And that's what we saw. 30th minute, De Gea comes out very well after Varane gets robbed. 45th minute, Atletico hit the crossbar. This one was kind of a scrambled eggs, you know, deflection, and they get the cross. But again, not a good look. When you're down one, we didn't generate anything. They hit the bar. But we went into half 1-0. I kind of felt, hey, we can hold 1-0. That should be the mentality. Like, obviously, fans, the Muppets are like, attack, attack, attack. You got to realize it. you got to shut it down. You have to not concede, and you have to maybe get a miracle goal here.
Yeah, you go in and you're like, getting into halftime, only one down is a victory, because we were terrible in the first half.
But they didn't have a lot of chances.
No, they didn't.
They didn't create a lot.
They just sat back. They basically just sat back and let us give the ball away, which we did. Because nobody would push forward. The defenders never pushed forward into space. No one played with any fucking aggression.
No, it was very poor.
It was very passive, and then we just allowed it to play into Atletico's hands. So you'd go and be like, hey, that was fucking shit, so do better, because you can't do worse. You can't do worse than that half.
That's a hell of a team talk.
I mean, I'm sure Ralph wasn't talking like quietly, because I'd be pissed.
United come out, don't look much better in the second half, but Madrid letting us have the ball. But again, there's nothing going on. 54th minute, Pogba finds Bruno with a great ball into the box. But Bruno let him down. Bruno giving the ball away a lot. Pogba giving the ball away a lot. Sir, we've seen this movie before. The Fred Pogba midfield. It's a lot of money for that midfield, and boy, it looked poor today. 56th minute, great tackle from Lindelof. By far, United's best defender. Man of the match against Leeds. Looking really good here. Obviously had the yellow, which is why I think he got the hook in the 67th. Triple sub from Ralph. Now, I do think Ralph got this right. Matic, Telles, Wan-Bissaka for Pogba, Shaw, Lindelof. Obviously, you have Wan-Bissaka right back, Telles left back, and then Mata is going to play CDM. And boy, Matic is going to play CDM. But boy, did Matic look good when he came on. He's got a solid 20 minutes in him. It's almost like we need a younger player who can do this.
I mean, these were great subs. Great subs, because Shaw and Lindelof were both on a yellow. The game was getting chippy as F. It was really popping off at this point. And those two could have, especially Shaw, he could have easily got sent off in this game. So bringing on Telles and Wan-Bissaka especially, and Pogba was non-existent. He played very poorly in this game. But Matic, it's like, Jesus Christ, do we need a CDM? Because he was so valuable. He came on and he was like a player. I mean, obviously, other than Alanga, but he was cutting through those passes. He never broke up the line. He made so many, like, last minute either breakups in the middle of the pitch or like tactical fouls. He was on it. He actually made like six tactical fouls in the last 20 minutes. So Matic, sorry, I wish he could play a full 90.
Well, the problem is, we were talking about during the game, why Matic looks so good is because our center backs are so shit. It's like, but the problem is, you play shit center backs. I mean, like, fine, out of form center backs will be kind to Maguire. Then we have out of form Fred and out of form Paul and not playing defense Pogba. And then those two in front of our defense is tough. So this is why we're dying for a CDM, or you could have two world-class center backs. I do think Lindelof, Varane, those are the starting center backs. Those are our two best players. I think they'd be a lot more comfortable at the back. And I think could have changed the game for United. You have to recognize when a player is out of form. Maguire's out of form. You need to bench him and then bring him in. Rooney needed to be benched. No one's above benching.
That's right.
I'm not saying some might say he's never going to be good for United. I don't think so. I think that when a player's out of form, you gotta sit him. 76th minute, the big sub. Talk about out of form, Rashford.
He was
horrid. Bad.
Horrid game.
Awful. We're 1-1. We're going to get to it, but it's like a long gone for Rashford. What a goal. What a goal, sir.
Beauty.
Bruno Fernandes. When he's found a way through, and Alanga, who's just come on, has equalized. That might just be his first kick of the ball. 19 years of age, Anthony Alanga makes an immediate
quality. First from Fred, and then from Bruno Fernandes. Can he find the through balls? We struggled so much this evening.
That is an unbelievable finish. I mean, you could say Oblak's out of position, but unbelievable finish from that angle from Alanga. He rescued United, rescues the result. A horrid night away. Bad performances all over the pitch, but what a brilliant finish from that youngster. A bright spot this season. You love to see it. And oh, by the way, Jesse Lingard, he'll get some football here as well. He comes on 82nd minute. And 87th minute, this is heart attack. Griezmann off the hop, hits the bar. An absurdly silky effort from the Frenchman. This could have been it. I mean, this is stupid, this finish from Griezmann.
Yeah, but I didn't get a chance to come out on a longest goal. That's what we have in the locker. So when they actually play with some conviction, break up play. Nice from Fred getting the ball out to Bruno. And you must give him credit. He gave the ball away a lot this game. But that's a perfect pass. And Alanga does very well with the ball, right? Shrug it off the defender and his positioning. Sir. Dude, Ralph talks about him in the presser. I'm looking forward to that because some players just showing like, goddamn, go out there and play like a United player. Just give it. Just go for it. And it's just good to see that Griezmann one, though. Woo! He's a player.
For some reason, the players who are not tweeting about rumors in the press are playing well. And the ones who might be the leak in locker room drama crew are absolutely drowning, a la Rashford and Maguire. I that's complete speculation, but it does look to be happening. And Alanga doesn't read the tabloids, son. He's worried about trying to earn his place in this historic franchise. Historic club that Manchester United is. He gets it. We need more players that get it. 94th minute, Ronaldo with a chance for a lat tap-in winner, but he was on the ground looking for a foul. So 1-1, great result. Rough performance. Only can go up from here. Hopefully this gives us some confidence. We just need a better start, and I think Alanga's going to start in the second leg.
I think he should start. At the weekend, sir, we got Watford, Radio Watford, one of our favorite clubs in the EPL. I don't know if they're going to be in the EPL next year. But like you said, it's a good result for a shit performance. We played well for like the last 15, 20 minutes when the subs were made. They did have an impact. I thought Ralph nailed that. And I think what you're seeing, sir, is that it's going to be really, really difficult because Ralph, if he wants to keep getting results and if we want to make a push for the Champions League and if we want to actually cement top four and not have to worry about the fuckers below us, dude, he's gonna have to start benching big name English talent. He's gonna have to start benching Harry Maguire and Rashford, like you said, for a Lindelof or even a Jones or an Alanga or a Lingard. Because like, dude, I think I'm not saying Lingard is the guy to play for him, but he's gonna need Alangas and say a Hannibal or whoever that's gonna go out there and actually want to look to impress and not just think, well, I have a big number, I'm a big guy, I'm a big deal. You know, it's like, we need those players that are looking to make an impact because they haven't, in their mind, made it yet. And we need the hunger.
Yep, it's a balance between what looks like the big names on paper and who's going to actually go out there and play for the badge. It's a delicate balance at Manchester United. I think it's because of the locker room dynamics and everything in between. Look at the stat sheet. Atletico, 13 shots to United, 7 shots on target. Atletico with 1. They did hit the bar twice. Versus United's shots on target, which were 2. They had 36% of the ball. We had 64%. But, you know, that doesn't tell you the full story. United not really looking like the team that does not know how to play football at the Champions League level. Atletico looking like they know what to do. But they are out of form. Bruno Fernandes is the first player in the Champions League history to assist in 6 consecutive appearances while playing for an English club, breaking the record held by David Beckham for Manchester United since 1998. And Anthony Alanga's goal was Manchester United's 500th in the European Cup / UEFA Champions League, a tally bettered only by Real Madrid, who scored 1,001,
double.
Bayern Munich, 760, and Barcelona, 624. Manchester United, you know, we're up there, but could always do better as far as Champions League goes. We'll see if we're back next year. And Manchester United's lowest single game XG mark across all competitions this season ended with an away result fitting after the Champions League group stages with 7 points from losing positions.
So this team, I don't know if we can do it against other teams that we would face in the subsequent rounds, but this team has it. I just think it's about getting it right for 90 minutes. And, you know, will we see that this season? Probably not. If we do, what kind of football will we start seeing? Probably some pretty decent football. They just got to show up. So Watford's going to be a big game. So a very winnable opponent. You know, they are just scrambling for any kind of result. And it should be a game where we are just picking up 3 points.
There's a lot of games we said that.
Yeah, I know.
But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ralph Rangnick.
Ralph, you've rescued that. That gives you a big boost for a return. How did you rescue that?
Well, I don't know if I rescued it, but after the performance in the first half, it could only get any better. It could only get better because what we played in the first half, I still cannot believe what we did. We played without conviction, without all the necessary aggression against the ball. And that's why we were really struggling in the first half. Second half, we did better. We had more possession in areas that mattered. And I think, yes, with another 10 minutes to play, had we played another 10 minutes, we might have even won the game. But again, we just have to play better than in the first half. I was very disappointed with our performance in the first half.
Is there a root cause? You didn't get through the lines, you didn't get behind them for the first half and some of the second half.
Well, as I said, we both against the ball and with the ball. We were far too apprehensive with the ball. Didn't take any risks. When we were in possession of the ball, we just played the ball in our own half without any deep runs, without any verticality. And again, then it's difficult against a team like Atletico, conceding an early goal. I mean, that was difficult to prevent, I must say. A brilliant cross and sprint to the near post, difficult to defend. But again, we have to be more aggressive. We have to be more, play with more conviction on the ball. And we need to do what we did in the last couple of weeks, even more so against a team like Atletico. We need more deep runs. And the way that we scored the goal was exactly that. A deep run from Antonio Langa, fantastic pass. We won the ball in the center of the pitch. And this is how we have to play against them.
He's tremendous. I mean, you absolutely see the frustration. Ralph's red face. He looks like he's like been yelling, frustrated. I wish I could hear what he had to say, not in the locker room, but sort of in his office after the match to, you know, the Ted Lasso.
Sir, the problem is
he'd
like,
be like, what is up with these players?
He goes on right here and he's complimented Langa as a role model. A role model because he's going out there and actually playing hard and just playing like he's enjoying himself. And I think that's the problem is, like, these players are just, like, thinking about the gram, bro. They're thinking about the Twitter. They're thinking about their agents. They're thinking about the messaging. It's just like, go fucking play football. Put a tackle in. And Anthony Langa is out there playing and having fun. And he's playing like a Manchester United player, dude. And that's just good to see. And I think Ralph recognizes it because he knows some of these players are just not good enough. And you listen to this man, and he's just refreshing because it's like, you know, he's the antidote this club needs. Just like... He might be too honest for the people in charge.
All right, I'm going to try to get the Elanga quote here up. One second here.
Yes, I mean, he's playing as if for him a dream comes true. This is just joy and fun to watch him play. I wish a few other players would take him as an example or like a almost role model, I would say. Not because he's doing everything right, but he's just enjoying himself on the pitch, and that's what it's all about. We know that football is an important sport, ball game, and even more so for our supporters or for the media, but it's still a ball game, and you have to enjoy yourself on the pitch. And this is what I would wish us to do in the future, also when we play them again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, he says a few other players I wish would just like...
Who's talking about, bro?
Play football and enjoy it versus whatever we had going on. We had Bruno waving his arms and yelling after a bad giveaway as well, or like in the third minute. More of that as well. This team, you can see it on Rangnick's face. Trying to manage this crew, this cast of characters is not easy. And, you know, credit to him because, like you say, he did get a lot right. And obviously, getting results was a one loss under Ralph Rangnick to Wolves.
We're the best run in the Premier League. We're on a 7-game unbeaten run. Best. He's only lost one game to Wolves, and Wolves are, by the way, are in great form. They've only lost one.
No, I know. So it's, but shit football, good results. Good football, shit. I don't know this team. It's not good for your health. But let's check in with the table, Tottenham bottlers. let's look at the bottle factory. They're bottling Harry Kane. We're gonna sign
100 million, bro. 100
sign
million
him for Harry Kane. Okay, so they beat City. They lose. Big loss for them. Let's check in with top four going into the next match here. 24 games, 39 points for Tottenham. 24. games, 40 for Wolves, 23-42 for Arsenal, 26-42 for West Ham, 26-46 for United. So obviously, Arsenal, they win the three games in hand. They're looking at 51, so we're five behind them. Tottenham, they're bottling, but again, if they win the two in hand, they're now one behind us with 45. So that was a huge loss. Obviously, Tottenham and Arsenal, they're in the mix. It's good to be close, so we kind of say, okay, the European night, put it behind us, focus on the next leg. We got Watford, a winnable game. Surely, the lads are going to turn up.
19th place, sir. Watford are in a relegation battle, so they're going to have something to fight for. They're not quite dead yet. You know, they do have fight left in them. They're, you know, they're only 4 points from the drop, so this is a big game. And if I remember correctly, they beat the absolute living crap out of us in outside of London in Watford earlier this year, 4-1, if I remember correctly. That was a rough one.
They beat us this year?
Sir, go down. You don't remember that? Radio Watford like smoked us.
Oh my
November
God.
November 20th, which was,
that was probably
after. That was, Ole was still around, bro. That was after I went and watched us get smoked by Liverpool.
That was the game that he got fired after that right, game. Yes. Exactly. That was the game when they said, no more. Sorry. I forgot that whole phase. Forgot it got to Watford 4-1.
Yeah, so this is a big game.
You know, I remember City passing us around off the park. I remember losing to the Scouse Bastards, but I must have just forgotten the Watford 4-1. That's a good thing. But there's a next match, big stakes, table stakes for Manchester United versus Watford. We got to be getting these 3 points against these relegation-bound sides. It's a must. Coming into this game, Lifetime versus Watford, 24 we've won, drawn 5, we've lost 7. We're going to be playing at Old Trafford, sir. Lads are going to come out swinging, just like they did against Atletico Madrid.
It's on the 26th. It's this Saturday. Apologies, I didn't include the time. 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. Pretty hospitable after some of these early games. 7 a.m. is nice.
The 4:30s. that was a spicy.
That was a draw, right?
Yes. You draw at 4:30 in the morning. We do a podcast. We're delirious and we're pretty upset. First time we played Watford, January 28th, 1950. We beat them 1-0 in the FA Cup. Coming into this last five, we've won 3, lost 2. Like you just reminded me, we got smoked 4-1 against Watford. And then Ole got the sack. Coming into this game, Manchester United have never lost a home game against Watford. We've won 11, drawn 2. No side have they faced more at home in their league history without suffering defeat. We've also done against Hull. We have undefeated against Hull. Watford looking to complete their first ever league double over Manchester United. They've won 2 of their last 3 against the Red Devils in the league, having won just 1 of the previous 15 before this. And Claudio Ranieri was the manager for Watford for their 4-1 win earlier this season over Manchester United. While Roy Hodgson will take charge of this game. Should the Hornets win, they'll be the first team to complete a league double over Manchester United with a different manager in charge for each game since Bolton Wanderers in 1950-51. Sir, great stats here.
I love these stats.
Little history on Watford. The club recognizes its foundation as 1881, aligned with that of Watford Rovers, and was established as Watford Football Club in 1898. It's pretty close to London. The team played at several grounds in their early history, including what's now the West Hertz Sports Club, before moving to Vicarage Road in 1922. They have a great stadium.
Yes.
Great burgers near Watford. Great dark ales up there. We really enjoyed that game.
Oh, we did. It was a great stadium. I think we had a little bit of a ticket snafu, even though I think we bought them as legit as it comes. But I remember, nice stadium. I think
my ticket wouldn't scan the turnstile, but I was like seven or eight ales deep, so it could have been a user error. But yeah, that was a good one. Graham Taylor's tenure as a manager at the club between 1977 and 1987 saw Watford rise from the fourth tier to the first team, finished in second in the first division in 82-83, competed in the UEFA Cup in 83-84, and reached the 1984 FA Cup final, but they did not win it. So Watford have kind of been a yo-yoing, and looks like they might go down again, which, you know, Radio Watford. Yo yo club.
See ya. Back to the championship.
It's tough. It's tough. They got Roy Hodgson. He knows how to play the Hoofball FC.
They're fighting for their lives. They're gonna come out to fight. If I tell you what, if we show up like we showed up in the first half today, they could put us under trouble.
They play the 4-3-3. Ben Foster. You know him. He's the goalkeeper. Great YouTube channel if you haven't seen it.
Cleverly. Remember him.
You remember him.
Title winner.
They got Sarr, Sissoko. They're dangerous. There's no easy game in the Premier League. That's why it's the best league in the world. Look in the physio room. McTominay, he's ill. Cavani.
He's good. He's like, I'm good, bro. Mate. Sorry, he's having a good time.
Some say he might be cursed.
Yeah, sir, I think some say we might be cursed.
Given those injuries, what is your lineup?
De Gea in net. I got Dalot, Varane, Lindelof, Telles. Sit down, English left side. Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Sancho, Alanga, Ronaldo. Rashford needs a bench. And Maguire needs a bench. And Luke Shaw probably needs a bench. Some impossible burgers. What do you got, sir?
I'm going to say Dave saves role number one in net. I'm going to say Wan-Bissaka, Varane, Lindelof, Telles. I liked Wan-Bissaka and Telles coming to that game.
So did I.
You got to rotate. Things get stale. You have to rotate. Like, Shaw is good, but he's not that good to play every single game over Telles. Rotation. McTominay, Fred, Bruno, Sancho, Elanga, and Ronaldo. Pogba's got to get the drop. He plays that bad. And that is just...
He was bad.
That's something that you got to talk about. How we can't carry that many bad performances. And here's the thing about Paul Pogba. You want a new deal, dude. It's like you're playing the knockout stages. You can't show up. Like that was
in a two.
That was horrific.
Like Fred was bad, but so was Pogba. He lost the ball like four or five times.
Fred is not wanting $500,000 a week.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So like Paul Pogba, who's going to buy that player? Who is going to watch that game and say you want that player to play?
No, he could be a good player in France or in Spain, but he ain't worth no $500,000 a week, and we're probably the only idiots that are going to give him that, so we don't lose £89 million investment.
You're a kid and you're good at a sport, you put together a tape, and you put together a tape and you go show people I'm really good. Where's Paul?
I mean,
besides the first couple of games, I think. Where is it? What's his tape from this season? He's like, he's got to earn the new contract. He's got to earn, like, is that worth, you're talking the money that he wants with his agent. Pogba and Real are like, he's one of the top three players in the world. You know, he's saying like,
who said that?
No, but he values himself that highly. Real, like, the money he is going to ask for is like astronomical. And where's the performances?
He's going to ask for money that only he's only going to get in like the Middle East or China. And even China, they clamped down on that. Like nobody.
That's what I'm saying. No,
he's a depreciating asset. Like nobody's buying injury prone Paul Pogba at 29 years old when his best days are behind him. Like it's just simple as that. So that's not really our problem unless we re-sign him, which we might, but we shouldn't, but we might.
But there's a certain level of talent. Like you saw the Joao Felix. 130 million,
dude. Even Bruno, he played like shit, but he made that big pass when we needed it.
It's the consistency, right? You see, like, Paul Pogba. That's the game. If Paul Pogba like jogs against Burnley, and then bosses it in the Champions League, that is a-okay with me. And we probably need to re-sign him,
right?
But it's just to me,
he jogged against Atletico, bro.
In the two, and it's like him and Fred, we're good. Middle of the park. It's just, what do you do with that? It's very difficult. As you want him to do well, like I expect that to get that type of game to get the best out of Paul P. Unfortunately, it's not the case. You got to drop him after that. Booking the bookies, Manchester United the favorites -320, the draw +450, and then Watford to win +850. Ronaldo odds on for the first goal scorer, then Cavani, then Bruno. What do you got? What's your score prediction?
It should be easy, but it never is. This damn team 3-1. We fight back because, like you know, we open like we've been opening. What do you got?
I'm gonna go 2-1. You know, maybe
late winner.
Hey, they're not good for your health. That's all I gotta say. Let's get into it, sir. United in the news. United in the news. Alex has scoured all the rags to bring you the top articles about Manchester United this week. First one here from the Daily Mail. Rangnick bollocked Manchester United players who used injuries to get out of tough away games under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's soft rules, which led to stars complaining about new boss.
Shouts too much. Shouts too much, sir. You know who used to shout
Tell
a lot?
Tell me about this, Alex. You read the full article here. I get the gist. I knew that it was like whatever Ole, when you saw him at the presser, like he looked like a ghost before he was sacked. You knew he knew that he was giving the players, they were getting away with murder. They were doing whatever they wanted, and they weren't even showing up for him. And then they were blaming him in the press. That's how low this crew went, is that he gave them all the power, trusted them 100%, protected them in the press. At the end of the day, they didn't show up on game day, and then they blamed it on him.
And what did they do to the guy who is called the godfather of modern German football? They called him a moron who brought in schmucks from Jersey that like didn't know anything, that were Ted Lasso equivalents. If you watch Ted Lasso, he's actually a fucking schmuck. Like this guy actually Armas like has more assistant experience than our past assistant managers, and that's not the point. The point is these players aren't big time players, bro.
No, but because they did it for Ole.
The point is like they were basically running the roost. Rangnick shows up and he was taken aback by the chaos at the club. Like that they were basically picking and choosing the games they went to, and he yells too much. And you know who else yells too much? Sir Alex Ferguson, because this is a hard game. This is a hard game, and you know what? It takes hard men to do well in this game. And it's like we have a bunch of soft baby bitches players that are mainly making up this side at the moment, and that's why all the noise and all the leaks have happened, and they're still kind of happening, even though performances have gotten better. Like results, you know, maybe the performances don't look better. But this is just the mismanagement and the thing we'll talk about next, the other piece of news, is just like the rot. This is 20 years of decay now.
This is two decades of it, sir. You're right from a roster perspective, but from the Mourinho probably picking his battles with players and then getting sacked and then those players getting a player-friendly manager and then sort of the Ole, hey, we'll let the players kind of do what it... Like, it's more of a philosophy perspective, right? So Mourinho's probably really hard on players, rightfully or wrongfully, right? Conte, probably. You can argue if that works. Simeone, right? There's a certain type of manager you'll put in the category of, like, old school,
emotional,
hard on players, like, grinds players out, you know? And then there's the everything's fine, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, let the players do whatever they want because that's the new... Like, that's players are just softer now, and you got to put your arm around them. And so I think this was taken to such extremes. The Independent reported that it was an open secret that players with minor injury issues would miss away games they didn't fancy. And so this is all sort of coming out. When you think to the Martial, Lingard situations and Rangnick coming out and saying the opposite of what they said, and it was probably this sort of system where players would kind of get away with sort of saying, oh, I got an injury, and just saying, oh, we're not going to play. And then Rangnick's like, it's not your decision. It's my decision if you play.
Right.
Right. And so it's more of that sort of player power struggle with the manager. And then that's what ruffled feathers. And that's kind of the dynamic. So if you can imagine, Rangnick goes into a locker room. He's used to a certain level of control and respect. He gets the dream job going to United. He's super pumped. He goes in there and it's absolutely like, the substitute teacher, the players are running roost, and he's got to sort it out. Yeah. And that's what it has been more about than the football. It seems more like Rangnick is trying to like say the right things in the press, pick his battles with certain players, set things straight than he is worried about gangin' press. It seems more like he's trying to get this
locker room
back together in some way.
He's gotten thrown into a fucking mess because, like, exactly. The number one tenet that Sir Alex Ferguson spoke about, that he talked about, that he preached about, is that no player can ever be bigger than the club, full stop, ever. Ever, ever, ever. He fucking...
Or the manager.
Yeah, but it club was a manager the sovereign, one. Bro. The sovereign. It's like the club, the manager. Yeah, because the figurehead that basically caretaker of the club was for Sir Alex, and then it was Ed Woodward. And basically is like, they're in charge, ultimately, about the oversight of the club, and they're bigger than any player. And what happened is Jose was like, yo, you got to sell Paul Pogba because he ain't worth it. And they chose a player to be bigger than the manager. And ever since then, it's been buck wild, bro. Reina shows up and he's like, you guys are not bigger than the club or the manager who's in charge of leading the club. But
well, no, Manchester United in the past always backed Sir Alex, and they sold Beckham. They sold Rude. They sold.
We have the director of football.
My point is they always sided with the manager. And I felt like if the club sided with Mourinho, that would have sent the message to the locker room that no player is bigger than the club.
Right.
But the message they sent to the locker room is the players are bigger than the club. And then you bring in Ole, and that kind of hit a certain point of unhealthiness, which you saw, like we talked about. Ole gave him all these freedoms. They abused them. They didn't perform well. And then when push came to shove, they were the one who looked
blamed him. Yeah.
But that's what like a child would do. And that's what these players really are. They're spoiled children. And so somebody, you got to have some semblance. And I do think Rangnick has called it straight when he says those things about Jesse. He said the thing in the first half in the presser, a horrible first half. He looked shocked how bad it was.
He did.
And he'll tell them and be like, we need more from Ralf Rangnick. I hope he isn't a consultant, because I hope he like literally does an interview about like how effed this whole thing was. It will all come out.
Because he'll get pushed out, bro. He'll get muscled out. They're not going to want to listen to what he has to say. He'd be the perfect guy to be your DOF or what technical director or whatever. The guy in charge. The guy fucking in charge of football. And he won't be, because he's got too much to say that's going to go antithetical to how they want to run the club, which is about like marketing and like tweets. And like they'll re-sign Paul Pogba because he's got 50 million Instagram followers, instead of being like, we need hardworking midfielders who are signing their second contract. Do they think about like social media impressions? And they talk about it in fucking earnings calls, sir. It's madness. So we're in trouble, because as long as the Glazers own us, they care about monetary means, control, cash, dividends, first and foremost. They don't give a fuck.
Walk me through this Fred interview here.
Well, this speaks to what he said. He's like, look at the quote, sir. He said, I know it's in football, it's important to get good results as soon as possible, but it's also important to have a long-term plan, and this is what we're talking about. I think it's a little bit bad for us not to have one. At the moment, it's all about short-term goals. We don't know how it's going to be after the end of the season. And he's talking about the interim nature of Ralf Rangnick's appointment. And this is what you're talking about, sir. You've mentioned this. He's a substitute teacher. No one's going to listen to a substitute teacher. We didn't when we grew up. Poor substitute teachers. Poor them, unfortunately, because it's like they don't have any real control. And that's what Ralf's in. It's like, what the fuck's going on? What's the plan of the season? The players want to know. Like by making him an interim, he has less power. He has less influence. And so the players are recognizing it, right? Because Fred is just Pastor Fred. He's just calling like he sees it, bro, and he's right.
No, and in any other sport, an interim manager can kind of work. But if you follow like football, soccer, right, we say Ted Lasso style here. The manager's so critical to the 11 that's picked, because he plays in different styles and has favorites and doesn't have favorites, and the players want to know who that manager is going to be so they can understand where they stand, so they can see if they should be leaving in the summer, right, etc. And with United delaying that decision is kind of kicking the can. So actually they're sort of messing with the players' careers, right? So Fred doesn't know if he wants to stay at United, because he doesn't know if the next manager rates him, and everything's kind of up in the air. And so, yes, they're playing for Champions League football now, but then potentially they're going to get a manager who has a different way of playing. It's a lot for players to have this sort of uncertainty, and they need to have certainty, right? There's a lot of big name players on big contracts, and if Pochettino's the man, Manchester United could pay the money and get him in tomorrow, and Reina could be an advisor, and they could start figuring all this stuff out, because it should be figured out now. The idea that you're going to have an interim manager for 6 months, maybe a month, when you like we had Giggs on the touchline for like six games at the end of the season when it doesn't matter, that's fine. But when you have 6 months and things to play for, it is a little bit weird. I don't think Manchester United made the right decision. And Fred should probably keep his mouth shut, but, you know, this is the what you get in 2022.
I mean, I don't think Fred was trying to throw shade. I just
you
think
just don't need distractions.
No, but there's distractions everywhere, bro. There's distractions everywhere. I mean, but
just shut up. Dude, there's enough of this.
The distraction
bullshit.
Is that, like, there's an inter manager and there shouldn't be an inter manager.
I don't give a. I don't care what Fred thinks about it, and all he right. should be thinking
well, we
about playing.
We need news, and he we should just be thinking. About,
but this came out like they tried to like English press tries to run big headlines. Players should just shut up. Start focusing on winning. That's all we want. Just stop. 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 Fan questions. We do care about what fans have to think. We are the Muppets here at the American Red Devils. This is what is most important to us. At Jared United, quote, sirs, 1-1 on that performance. I believe we just out-shithoused Atletico Madrid.
And we would have truly out-shithoused them if fucking Ronaldo got that winner in the 94th minute. Because if he was on his game, he scores that tap-in. But, dude, we have everything left to play for. Like, we have the tools to beat this Atletico team. And today was they're missing some big players. So we need to show up. We're not going to win nothing if we don't show up.
I totally agree. Alex hates La Liga teams. You were so upset.
It was just so frustrating to play. There was 19 fouls from them. There were 16 fouls from us. It just, the game slows down to kind of a nauseam. Like,
yeah, but City play that way. You know, I was just saying.
But they
like,
don't even
the
get away with it to the same
like,
degree. And they play 10 less minutes of football on average in La Liga than most other leagues because of all the stopping. That is a thing.
Like, no, but that's.
Viewership of La Liga champion. Is record low because the game.
European football is like when you play in the Champions League, it's different.
Villarreal,
I argue that England's gotten too soft. For my,
yes.
England's gone the way of the La Ligas.
Yeah.
We're going to La Liga. La Liga ain't coming to us. So it seems like we're getting softer in England. I think England should be, the ref should let things play a little more. I think they started the season well on that and they kind of changed it up. But, you know, I know you don't like the shithousery, but we did out.
It's effective, though. I think that's why I don't like it. It's not like, I don't like them. It's just like, it's so effective that it's annoying and you just. You know, you get pissed. It's like frustrating for a reason.
At Ty Kircher, honestly, I'll take a 1-1. Miss that away goal rule, though. Going to have to be much better at home to get through. Be ready for more nervy minutes over the next 90. We never do it easy. I do agree. We have a chance to beat him, but man, Atletico did look good other than the scoring side of things. You know, they look to have us beat. If they can sort that out, it could be ugly because we need to be able to show up. I mean, this is, we have Radio Watford. Can we show up against Radio Watford? I need to see the team show up before I can believe that they will. At Grifter 10, quote, how does Rashford keep getting starts over Alonga?
I don't know. He should be starting on Saturday. I don't think he will be.
This goes back to the
it's like why they don't drop Maguire, bro. It's like because they're not expected to because, I don't know, they start for England. Even though Rashford does not start for England and won't be starting for England at the World Cup.
The Rashford fall off is unbelievable. We remember last season playing him and he's injured. And even though he's injured, he played for England at the Euros and then didn't even play. And he delayed his back surgery and sort of kicked that can, and then finally he gets healthy. He comes back, and he just looks like
awful.
He took the ball and ran into five Atletico defenders at one point.
He's hero balling it. He just needs to play one touch football. I don't know.
That's a sad one. He's dead.
No.
I just think probably for Rashford, this strikes me as a young player. You have a lot going on. Hell of a last season. You think of the Euros, missing the penalty, surgery, and probably other things going on in his life, and it seems to me like a write-off season for Marcus, right? And so you hope he comes back strong. Next season, he did have score a goal. Scored
next
a goal.
Next manager
too.
Matters. That'll also be in context.
I'm not
of
writing
that.
Off Rashford. I think he's a good lad. Keep him around the squad. I just think this season probably a lot going on for him, and he probably just needs to get to the next year. At TweetSauce13, ultimately a good day, going home with a good chance to advance, and the Spurs loss is huge. So, yeah, I mean, the game didn't pass the eye test, but a great day for United. Coming back 1-1 is huge, and then Spurs losing is arguably even bigger because Champions League football next season is more important than our Champions League results this season.
It's true.
Because at the end of the day, player recruitment, Ronaldo staying, everything is dependent upon Champions League football. And obviously you can win the Champions League and get it, which is obviously what I predicted. But some might argue beating Watford and betting on Tottenham and Arsenal to bottle it,
it's easier.
Is probably easier.
Because you know Arsenal's going to blow it. Like, they ain't winning those three games in hand, bro. They ain't picking up 9 points.
I know, but we need to pick up nine
points. And we need to beat Watford. Shitty we have to beat Watford.
Dude, I pull up our fixtures here just for a second.
They get rough, bro.
You're like, telling me.
After Watford. I mean, the pacing helps. They are like a week apart until we play Atletico again. But take them through it, sir.
There's never a dull day. Being like when you're getting to March as a Manchester United fan,
spicy month.
At least you know this team might tragically let us down at the end of the season. We might miss out on top four. We might be Hans and Franz, you know, Hans and Franz group stage
for life.
That's how they get us. Hans and Franz, when you play in the theme in the group stage
in August,
like six games, I think banging games, Hans like, and Franz on the pod because, like, you know,
Thursday night pods.
Yeah, like a lot of Thursday night pods. That's where we're headed.
Like six of them. And then we're going to make it through.
But this is going to be a hell of a ride. Watford Saturday, February 26th. Then you got the Derby, baby. Let's go. March 6th. Then Tottenham, big game. Must win.
9:30.
March 12th. Let's go. And then after 12th, we come back. This week is make or break. March 12th, Tottenham. March 15th, Atletico back at home. The Scouse Bastards away March 20th. Then you have Leicester City April 2nd. And then you got Everton April 9th. Hopefully putting the nail on that coffin.
He goes on a run, bro. They give him the job. I just know how these dumb idiots at this club work.
Then you got Norwich, Arsenal,
that
huge.
Game, that
Brentford,
game.
Brighton, Chelsea. We will be going to that game. And then Crystal Palace to finish it off.
Selhurst Park, baby. That's a big game.
That is huge. That is huge. So it's going to be.
It's going to be painful every game. No, like every game is going to be like.
Look, we show brutal. Up week in, week out, maybe twice a week sometimes. This team is. It's been a crazy. This season, I can't remember a season like this, but the fact that we're staring down these fixtures, the fact we're still in it in the Champions League. It's going to be a hell of a race for top four. It's never going to be dull. I wish the football looked better, but sir, you know what? It's going to be a crazy ride. And I just hope in my bones that the best is yet to come from this squad. Because God damn it, we've been watching absolute horrid performances from this team. It has to get better. I trust in Ralph. He's making good subs, pragmatic. He has good analysis. I trust him that over time, he'll get the right players in the right positions and get us playing better over time. It has to improve. Can we get worse?
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking from the Liverpool. Guy who went to the Liverpool game
Liverpool
earlier
5,
this year.
No, bro, that was worse. They're a better team, right? And they never got out of second gear that game. So
I love how you were talking about today. You're like, going in person is worse.
you were pissed. And... Sir, you watch it on TV, it's one thing. You're there, you're like, you cannot imagine how much worse it is in person. I didn't know how much worse it was in person. Because that Palace game where they came back, they played really bad in that game. Until they just kind of cobbled it together and they just made it happen. Dude, I've never seen any team play that bad in person. That was, sir, it was like this though, because it was like, but Liverpool just like put us to the fucking sword. We came out like afraid, bro, like with nothing. It was the same thing
and
as today.
That's anti-Manchester United, and I think that's where all the fans get frustrated. And even hearing Rangnick, I mean, like, what a manager. And this is where it comes out. Over time, our respect for Ralph is going to increase. Because when he says that he wished other players could play with the freedom and joy that Elanga played with. Like, he just met the moment. And for him, it meant so much to play Champions League football to Manchester United. Like, why can't Harry Maguire feel that way? you know, like, why not? And that he's just trying to say it, like, there it is. That's the HD crystal clear picture in front of you. Like, Elanga is playing out of his mind because he's more of a player than a lot of other guys making a ton of money on the team.
I mean, you see it because we're watching the video. You read in his face. It's like him talking about the first half and then him talking about Anthony Elanga. He like lights up.
He's like, thank God somebody wants to show up.
Dude, because it's like you could tell the frustration. He looks like a beaten man. And he's just like, that's the bright spot. It's like players that are just going out there and playing. Dude, like Manchester United players are supposed to play. Just like go out there and have fun and work hard and play hard. Don't like walk around.
You don't play scared.
Don't hang your head. Go out there and put in a tackle.
Like I told you when we signed David De Gea from Atletico Madrid however many years ago, it's almost more than 10.
It's 2010,
Atletico's nothing. And you would think that we would be going to Atletico like 12 years later playing scared.
You would have thought a lot of things. You would have thought a lot of things would have gone differently in the next 10 years.
Yep.
So 2009, that's like we peaked, bro. And then they sold Ronaldo, sold Tevez, and bought Overton and Michael Owen. That was it, bro.
It's going to be, as a fan,
30 years.
Very excited for the end of the season. Like, we got a lot of great matches, lots to play for.
A lot of blood pressure medicine between
here and
now.
Can only get better from here. You heard
can't
it here.
Can't get worse.
Can't get worse.
Can always get worse. On
to Watford. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. Support the podcast. Check us out on Patreon, www.patreon.com. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Write a review wherever you listen. It helps us get found organically. Like we said, no ads, just two Muppets talking in the bunker. Also, join our Discord channel. It is on Twitter. There's an invite pinned. If you don't know what Discord is, it's an amazing application. We can chat with fans worldwide about the club we love, Manchester United. I'm excited for the end of the season. Sir, give us our top downloads last 7 days here. Let's hope we got some interesting cities that you'll mispronounce on this list.
I see a lot of red, white, and blue, which is good luck for me. Number one, how you doing? Sanford, I still bottled it. Sanford, Florida, Houston, Texas, Brooklyn, New York, Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, Seattle, Washington, Henderson, Nevada, Cerritos, California, Mama Renanek, New York, so I don't know where that is. Ho Chi Minh City, I know where that is. Vietnam, and last but not least, Tampa, Florida. We also got some Wembley, UK on the board at 11. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We could not do it without you, sir. Like you said, I am excited for the remainder of the season. A lot to play for. I want to see more rotation.
I want to see youngsters coming up in this side. I think Rangnick, he's conservative, but I think we're going in the right direction. You got to trust in him. Let's hope the board listen to him. But it's all about Anthony Elanga and this amazing finisher. He's got his own song. Rhythm is a dancer. We're going to end with this one. We'll see you at the weekend. Radio Watford, here we go.
Rhythm is a dancer. Anthony Elanga. He can stop and make people. Take the stand and anger. Easy and I sing it. Surely goes to everywhere. Oh, Anthony Elanga. Oh, you can sing it in the air. Oh, it's a longer. Oh, rhythm is a dancer. I'm telling you longer. You can stop and make people. Take the scandal anger. Easy and I sing it. Surely goes to everywhere. Oh.